Hello, and welcome to TechTarget's expert podcast, looking into the best practices used in implementing information governance programs. I'm Jonathan Gourlay, site and news editor for searchcontentmanagement.com, and I'm joined today by Barclay Blair, president and founder of Viallumina Group, which specializes in information governance consulting services. Barclay is an internationally recognized authority on information governance and information technology. He has advised Fortune 500 companies, software and hardware vendors, and government institutions. He is also the author of Information Nation, Seven Keys to Information Management Compliance. Barclay will tell us about the keys to successful implementation of information governance programs, describing what enterprises can do to best prepare processes that will ensure smart management and ongoing control of their information assets. Hi, Barclay. Welcome to SearchContentManagement.com's podcast booth.
Hey, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. I wanted to start things off by asking you, when an organization decides it's time to really get a handle on their information and feels the time is right to set up a governance program, what is the first step it should take?
So, Jonathan, one of the things you'll hear me talk about quite a bit in our time together today is the need for real executive support and accountability around information governance. Now, whether that should be the first thing that you focus on is up to debate. It really depends on your company's culture and really what your starting point is. But the reality is that unless and until you have real ownership from a C-level executive, it's going to be difficult to be successful in information governance. Information governance requires a lot of change in our organizations, and that change simply isn't possible unless we have the support, the oversight, and, of course, the funding that comes from C-level support. Now, that being said, I think that obvious places to start and places that we typically start with our clients is with a gap assessment or a needs assessment of some kind. Now, the focus of a gap assessment, as the name suggests, is to kind of gauge where you are and where you want to go and what the gaps between those two solitudes are. Everyone has varying levels of maturity around the control and they have over their information, so it's a really good idea to start with that. I think that the gap assessment, although some perhaps view it as maybe needless kind of analysis, I find that although there is usually a core group of people in a company that understand what the problems are, it's often essential to socialize and spread that message widely, and particularly up the ladder. And a formal document that does that can be a great help in your effort to try and get your IG program off the ground. You know, I also think that the focus of a gap assessment should not just be pointing out the problems, but to really focus on how do you turn those issues that are uncovered into potential projects. So one of the things we do is a really sort of focused exercise to quickly try and capture or convert issues into potential projects that have dimension of time and money and dependencies and so on. My belief is that organizations cannot act on issues. They can only act on projects. So the quicker you can get from identifying problems with your email, problems with your unstructured data, shared drives, problems with legal hold, and so on, the sooner you can convert those into, all right, what are the projects that are going to help us solve those problems, the better off you'll be and the faster your information governance program will get off the ground.
And as far as that gap assessment is concerned and the document you were talking about, who would be the right person to put that together? Is it something that requires some kind of committee to be set up that would be tasked with all of that? Is that the way to go?
So, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with committees. I think that the love part is that clearly information governance is a multidisciplinary pursuit. In other words, it requires the expertise and experience and input from multiple parts of your institution, business, technology, legal, records management, and others. So committees are necessary from that perspective. I suppose the hate part of committees is that there's a real tendency with committee work to avoid really addressing the hard question, which is, who's going to actually own this thing once the committee is disbanded, or once the committee has completed the sort of headline project, which often turns out to be some kind of software implementation? Who's actually going to run with this? Who's going to do the unglamorous work of running and maintaining this program and making sure that it's successful? And very, very often, my experience is committees can't answer those questions. They don't answer those questions. And often their best efforts just fall on fallow ground and the IG program goes nowhere. So committees are obviously essential, but I don't think we should oversell the ability of a committee to actually move a program forward. So committees are good, I think, for bringing people to the table, gathering their perspectives, but ultimately somebody has to have decision-making power. So often I see with my clients that gap assessments, recommendations, policies languish in committee, as it were, and never go anywhere. So yes, I think that a committee has to have oversight, but ultimately there needs to be an individual that takes the ball and runs with it with the gap assessment. Who that person is, you know, there's no answer for that universally. It really depends on the company and depends on their culture and how they're structured. But I've seen it work with senior IT. I've seen it work with senior legal. I've seen it work with various other titles as well.
Okay. But regardless, it sounds like you are going to need a pretty strong facilitator to take ownership of that program at some point.
Yeah, I think there's facilitation, and then which is critical, obviously, because you have real cultural differences between, let's say, the way a law function operates and the way an IT department operates. I think even more important, however, is decision-making authority.
Mm-hmm.
Who has that, and what is the process for making that decision in an expeditious fashion, which, again, is often the Achilles heel of committees.
All right. And you mentioned the IT department. I was wondering if you could tell us what kind of role an IT department might play in information governance, and will someone who takes the lead or ownership of information governance ease IT's tasks or actually add to them?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think that the role of IT in the enterprise in general is changing, and I also think that the role of IT in information governance is changing. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, one of the most common projects we see out there, as an example, is a SharePoint implementation. So this is a perfect kind of object lesson about the challenges of working on information governance. So one of the real attractions to SharePoint from a corporate IT perspective is that once they have established the platform, it's fairly easy for users to actually self-provision collaborative sites and so on. So it reduces the management burden on IT, at least in theory. Now, when someone like me comes in and starts waving his arms around and saying, well, you can't just simply open the floodgates and let departments and individuals establish sites without any governance, IT is usually not a big fan of that, to say the least, because they're on this path. They're going down these rails. They they have made commitments and promises around when this capability is going to be ready. So often the information governance people are viewed as kind of a fly in the ointment of that, and it doesn't go well. So I think that the key here is that you can't do information governance without IT. There's just no question about that. But the parties need to come to the table much earlier in the process. It's kind of too late if IT has selected a platform, for example, or a piece of software, and folks from records management or legal weren't involved in any real way in that decision process. It's kind of too late now to impose requirements upon a platform that weren't initially part of the RFP. So collaborating early, very early in the process, is critical. I think that we have a lot of work to do in our organizations to kind of adapt information governance to the way that IT currently functions, and I don't think that's going to be easy. Mm-hmm. A lot, the facts are that a lot of most technology decisions are made today without much of a view towards information governance, and that's starting to change, which is a really healthy thing.
Is there any kind of plan an organization should create to ensure that, you know, if they've said, okay, we know how important information governance is, and we're gonna create a process. So should they be hammering out a formal plan to ensure that information governance is an ongoing process, or somehow make sure it doesn't fall by the wayside?
I absolutely think that formality is our ally when it comes to information governance. This is a new way for most organizations. This is a new way of viewing information, and it's a way that isn't exclusively the province of IT. It's a way that's not exclusively the province of legal or records management or the business. So we all have to come to the table. The only way that we can do that in a successful way is through formality. And so one of the most common projects we do today is creating governance for information governance, or the corporate governance piece. So laying out exactly what the roles and responsibilities are, not only for the project, but for the operational or the evergreen component of information governance. So again, this comes back to the hardest problem in that governance of information governance is at the top level. And the reason I say that is it's very interesting to me that most institutions have had CIOs for at least a couple of decades. But what's fascinating about that role is, despite having the word information in their title, most CIOs are not, in fact, responsible for information. And they'll tell you that. Their role is actually more akin to a chief infrastructure officer. And the analogies that CIOs will use to explain their role are things like, well, we're like a power transmission company, not a power generation company. In other words, we own the wires and the transformers and the plug-ins in your house, but we don't actually create the electricity. Or we're like a satellite TV company that gets the signal into your house, but we don't actually create the half-hour crime drama. You know, garbage in, garbage out, right, is one of the oldest IT sort of analogies that expresses this divide between what's the responsibility of the business versus what's the responsibility of IT. So you have this situation where the CIO is actually not responsible for information, which is a problem. But an even bigger problem is that other C-level executives, in many cases, think that they are responsible for it. So not only do you have a vacuum, a leadership vacuum, but you have a perception that there is no leadership vacuum, and that's a real problem. So, you know, I can't emphasize enough the necessity of looking at this problem from the top level, mm-hmm. and solving that is absolutely critical to success in information governance. If you can solve that problem, the rest will kind of fall in place. Now, that doesn't mean that if you can't get either a new role created or change the role of the CIO or get another C-level executive in that role, it doesn't mean that you can't move forward and you can't make progress. Certainly you can. There's lots you can do without that. But ultimately, to achieve the information governance vision, that is essential.
You've given us a lot to think about there. Thanks, Barclay, very much for stopping by.
Great. Well, it's my pleasure, and best of luck.
Thank you. That was Barclay Blair, president and founder of Vilumina Group. And for searchcontentmanagement.com, I'm Jonathan Gourlay. Thanks for listening.